Welcome back to Evolution of a Snake. I'm Zach.
And I am Madeline.
If you are not subscribed to our Patreon, patreon.com/swiftologist, by the way, then you probably won't be seeing a video accompaniment to this week's public episode. And that is because we chose to put up a 25-minute teaser of our live show in Australia, in Brisbane, with the gorgeous ladies of Chats and Reacts. We had such an amazing time talking to them. The full two-hour show is available for purchase on Patreon now, but we didn't want to leave all of our public audio listeners and also our Patreon listeners, because we have some of you that I guess won't be buying the show. We didn't want to leave you hanging. We didn't want to leave you hanging. So we said we need to come up with something that we can put out this week just for you to listen to. And Madeline, what did you come up with? What did we come up with?
So here's the thing. So on Evolution of a Snake, as many years as we've been doing it, plus as many years as we've known each other and been friends, a lot of issues have been going on. Let's just leave it at that. It's a lot of issues going on. And what I mean is there have been a lot of sort of like, I want to say inside jokes, but I don't even think necessarily these are inside jokes. These aren't even just memes. This is just like shit that we say that we repurpose and repurpose and repurpose again. It becomes like a verbal tic that we do. And we just can't stop saying these ridiculous things. And I forget sometimes that not everybody knows what the fuck we're talking about, because a lot of our like little phrases and sayings are really specific. They're from like The Housewives is a really big one that I know not everybody is watching The Housewives, but The Housewives is a really big like sort of glacier that we chip off of to get little ice cubes that we use on Evolution of a Snake all the time. Plus there's like really niche Taylor references. There's also things that come from places that you would never imagine. So that's what today's episode is about. This is kind of like our lore, specifically with our kind of like quote unquote inside jokes, if you will.
I would actually call it verbal stims. That's what we're doing here. That is literally what we're doing here. These are, it's just a language that we've developed to communicate with each other. And the things develop over time. Like what it was once about, it is no longer about anymore. And we will repurpose it to use it in any circumstance. And I completely understand that if you're dropping in to Evolution of a Snake for the first time, or if you've only been here for 6 months, there's a lot of issues going on. And I guess we can start there. Madeline, what is it's a lot of issues going on?
So it's a lot of... This is a really funny one to start with. So does anybody know Tokyo Toni? So Tokyo Toni is actually Blac Chyna's mother. And it's like, if you don't know who Blac Chyna is, we can go no further. It's like you kind of just have to look it up at that point. She's like, she's a rapper. She's also a reality television personality. She's somebody who has that kind of like quality to her. Tokyo Toni and Blac Chyna both have this quality where it's like they say stuff. It's hilarious. They don't know it's going to become a meme, but it becomes a meme. Like, cut the camera. Deadass.
Cut the camera, deadass. Tokyo Toni is one of the funniest and most belligerent people on the internet. And by the way, we quote horrible people all the time. Many such cases, something we say all the time is literally a Donald Trump quote. We're not condoning these people. We're taking their language and using it against them to make fun of them, basically. So Tokyo Toni has all these videos of her just randomly giving sermons. Like, she just shouts at the camera. And this is one that Madeline found. This is a fairly recent addition, actually, I would say.
So somebody asks her about the gay community, and she's looking into the camera, and she says in this video, when it comes to this LGBTQ community, it's a lot of issues going on. It's a lot of issues going on.
So you see how we just take that last part and use it when there are a lot of issues going on, and there are frequently a lot of issues going on. Like Shawn Mendes, what's the future of his career? It's a lot of issues going on.
It's a lot of issues going on. When you go to the Cheesecake Factory, it's a lot of issues going on in a good way.
When we arrive to the Miracle Theater and Paul the Pervert has porn on the screen, I guess that's more lore that we have to explain shortly. It's a lot of issues going on.
There's so many different uses for it. Whenever you enter a situation where it's just a lot of issues going on.
No, you know it. You know it when you feel it.
You know when you feel it. You know it when you feel it. You know it. You say it. Period.
Period. The next one, and I think this is maybe the most highly requested lore explainer of all time. I think we get asked this at most shows. Wouldn't you say during Phone a Snake, this comes up all the time? It is, what is the heirloom turkey? What is the origin of the heirloom turkey story? And again, I have to preface, this has been abstracted from something much larger than what it is. And we use this as a term to refer to Joe Alwyn because he, at the time that him and Taylor were breaking up, it just seemed like he was dead weight. That infamous picture came out of him looking haggard on the street. And she said, am I allowed to cry? And we said, yes, you are. And fuck the heirloom turkey. And this came from an Azalea Banks rant. And I'm going to read some of the rant to you, and then you can understand why we applied this to Joe Alwyn. So unfortunately, Azalea Banks is responding to pictures of Lana Del Rey that came out during the pandemic, where she, in Azalea Banks's mind, looked fat. That was the entire point of this. And Azalea and Lana have long had a feud. Lana said, I won't not fuck you the fuck up to Azalea Banks. Yeah. And she said, drop your address. I'm going to come get you. So it didn't completely come out of nowhere. They've been sparring for a while. But Azalea said, and she is a wordsmith, unfortunately, even when she's being evil, she's a wordsmith. She said, you look horrible, sis. You got to figure that out. It's not giving, Lolita. Don't ever say nothing about me ever again in your fucking life. Don't ever. You need raw foods, alkaline, bitch. You need to take a shit. What is going on? They called you a Karen, but no, bitch, you look like a Sheila. Sheila with the fucking two-tone lopsided haircut. She got the Tebow's haircut. It's black in the back with streaky blonde and brown, just looking like all kinds of Kmart shopper. Damn, you look bad, bitch. Fuck, Kate plus eight in the face ass looking bitch. Fucking old turkey, fucking fat turkey looking bitch. Damn. You know, you go on the poultry farm, it'll be like a free range poultry farm, and it's that one turkey that they don't kill, that one turkey that is fat as fuck. Maybe they tried to kill him and he survived, and they were like, all right, you know what? We're just gonna let you rock. We're gonna let you rock. We're gonna let you eat cheeseburgers, and you could just walk around the farm and police the other turkeys, bitch. That's what you look like. You're that turkey, the family heirloom turkey.
Every time I'm reminded of what was actually said, I'm like taken aback by how terrible it actually is.
It's evil.
I'm like, this is bad. This is really, really bad. You forget when you pull just like one thing out of it, it's like, this is
poetry in a way. Like, it is all kinds of Kmart shopper. Damn, you look bad. Kate plus eight in the face ass looking bitch. There's something melodic and beautiful about it, and then you realize what it's about and you go, no,
it's not true. That's the other thing.
It's not true.
Literally,
it's not
true. We're talking
true.
About Lana Del Rey, ladies and gentlemen, like literally one of the most glamorous beautiful people alive. Whether she's, you know, whether she's a size 10 or she's a size 2, it doesn't really matter. So this was crazy. This was fat phobia against Lana Del Rey. It had to be repurposed. It had to be used for good.
I would go on Twitter live when Jover was happening, and I would read this out, and I would like, I would just go live just to read this and then go off. And the people that were around then, I think, remember
those
that
were the days.
But it was and the thing about Joe was that it seemed like, you know, she was guilty of sin. She was dreaming about fresh out the slammer. It kind of made sense that he was the heirloom turkey that they just let roam around the farm and police the other turkeys because it wouldn't die. That's what their relationship was giving.
He kind of was, like, in terms of the ex-boyfriends, he kind of was giving the heirloom turkey. Now, things are kind of different, like, since Torture Poets, since, you know, certain things have come to pass. I think heirloom turkey is his name and forever will be, but he doesn't quite have the vernacular to even be the turkey. That's the guy.
No, this is the problem, is that, like, because, and this was before we knew Torture Poets was even a feather on the breath of God. This was before Matty Healy, before any of that, we were saying, thank God we're free of the heirloom turkey. That's also where, fun fact, we're just going to let you rock comes from.
Yes, we're just going to let you rock. I forgot that's where that came from. Then you said it, and I was like, that is hilarious.
And we use that all the time. So when we say heirloom turkey, we're talking about Joe Alwyn. When we say, I'm just going to let you rock, it just means, like, I'm going to leave it alone.
Yeah, I'm not going to say anything. I will do no further. What's funny about her saying, we're just going to let you rock, she wasn't letting Lana rock. She wasn't.
No, she wasn't letting Lana rock. Now, this next thing, you might have heard about it before, is a mystical affair, which actually can be explained by a YouTube video, so I don't think we need to give them the full explanation. But Madeline, would you please tell us about your epic noon roast?
this is one of the things that's like one of the hardest things to just talk about because it requires so much backstory. And it would, I could literally, I would have to do another Noon Roast on a Sunday. And that video is what, half an hour long? So Noon Roast on a Sunday is a YouTube video. Okay. It's a YouTube video. It's available on YouTube to this day. I have not privated it. I have not taken it down. It is a video from 2015. When you go in, you get to see me from when I was in college, which is hilarious. And it is a video about certain events that unfolded on Tumblr.com. When I think about Noon Roast on a Sunday, I kind of think about the moment that I knew Tumblr was over, and specifically in terms of being a Swiftie, but I also think in the world. Noon Roast on a Sunday is about when Taylor Swift came onto Tumblr.com and through no fault of her own, completely inadvertently killed it. She thought she was going on there for a kiki, but this was a moment when she realized, I think I'm too famous for a kiki. This isn't the MySpace days. This isn't MySpace. This is a different beast altogether. And that's what Noon Roast on a Sunday is about. You kind of just have to watch the YouTube video if you're curious. I think it's one of the most important pieces of fandom lore that we have from the 1989 era. And that's on period.
Oh, it's one of the most important pieces of fandom lore ever, because a lot of what happened in the real Taylor Swift fandom, like the online Swifties who were really in it, happened on Tumblr, which is not really a platform anyone uses anymore. And a lot of people have deleted their Tumblrs. Like, a lot of it is just gone and belongs to the collective memory. And this is a really great snapshot of what it was like to be a Swiftie when Taylor was someone that was immediately accessible to you. Like, these Swifties that joined post-2020, you don't get it. In 2014, 2015, there was a high chance that you could log on and write something about what happened to you in math class that day, and Taylor would see it and like it. And it's worth noting as well that, like, we had a bit of a stature, whatever that meant at the time. We were highly followed people on Tumblr, and Taylor herself followed us. So it became, she completely changed the dynamic of what that fandom community space, which for me had been for years, like since I was like 12 or 13, like at that point, it had been a very big part of my life. Taylor came on and her interacting in it completely like ruined what it was supposed to be for the fans.
It did. And I know she didn't mean it. And I know that she thought it was cunty, and much of Taylor on Tumblr was really great. There were so many things and like so many fans that in ordinary circumstances never would have gotten, you know, noticed by Taylor, gotten a package from Taylor, gotten to meet Taylor.
I lived in Singapore. I never would have had a chance to even interact with Taylor had Tumblr not been a thing.
So there was lots of good things that came from Taylor being on Tumblr, but she did ruin it. But she did also ruin it. It's like one of those things where we flew too close to the sun is how I would describe it. And Noon Roast on a Sunday really tells the tale of the final nail in the coffin.
And you know what? I would like to, when people are like, do you think Taylor watches your stuff or do you wish Taylor would interact with you? I would always redirect people to Noon Roast on a Sunday because you don't want that.
You don't want
Taylor's attention like that, because everybody hates you. And I don't want to get too much into it, but just watch the video. It's history. It's her story.
Yeah, it's her story. And it's important. And I think it should be in textbooks. Thank you.
I think we need to remaster it. I think we need to get someone to upscale it.
Yes,
let's get a little production in the booth.
What's funny about Noon Roast on a Sunday is I'm sitting on the floor. I'm on the floor. No, I'm next to my window. That's the only source of light in the video. I just got home from school, from class. I am painting my nails. I haven't had any food. I'm just being psychotic. It's great. It's one of the greatest videos ever made. You should watch it.
It is.
I don't know.
It really is. Up next, we have the Men in Music Business Conference. Now, this is a pretty deep lore one that I don't think we've referenced in a really long time. But the Men in Music Business Conference is, of course, a line from Lana Del Rey's song, White Dress. Madeline, what is it? What does it mean in the Evolution of a Snake world?
It refers to something really, really stupid. I'll tell you that for free.
It's humiliating.
So at the very start of when we started taking the podcast really seriously, when we realized, you know, this could be a real thing, not just something we do for fun, but something that we could really do. And it could be like a job almost, or like at least a side hustle. We were approached by somebody from the Canadian Broadcast Network, CBN or CBC.
CBC.
We were approached by somebody from CBC and we gagged. We were like, this is amazing. They want us to be in this
we're famous.
Sort of like documentary sort of a thing that was about like fandom and like being a fan and this, that, and the other thing. And we thought this was our big break. We were like, this is going to get us, we're going to get exposed to so many people. There, it's like we are going to launch ourselves into superstardom. And pretty much from the get-go, it started becoming clear that that's not going to happen. So we meet this like crack team of quote-unquote professionals who are going to be like producing and directing us. We made it clear from the beginning, we do not have professional recording equipment. This was before we had softboxes, cameras. Before we had official microphones, like really good microphones, before we had cameras, like before everything. We were like, we don't have all that stuff. And we thought they were going to loan us out stuff or send people in to film us. No, they didn't have the budget for that kind of a thing. We discovered this. So they're like, oh, you can just use your webcam. They said that to us. You can just use your webcam. My WEBCAM webcam. Do you understand how psychotic that is? And we meet Tara, who was amazing. Tara was amazing. She was kind of like the main person that we were working with. She was one of the producers, I think, or she was...
Yeah, let's not name people. Let's anonymize them. But Tara was a queen, so we can say Tara's name. Tara was a diva.
Then there was, for the purposes of anonymity, we'll call him Charlie Brown. Charlie Brown...
He was 100 years old.
It's funny that knew exactly who I was talking about.
Well, we've had to work with tech people who are 100 years old and have no business doing that job.
Go to San Francisco.
So many times.
You meet them in San Francisco. It's crazy. And it's like, by the way, San Francisco, the tech capital of the United States of America, and the tech person that we were dealing with at our show in San Francisco.
Tales from the Crypt.
Tales from the Crypt. But nonetheless, Charlie Brown, not very good at tech and would like not be able to get into the meetings. And by the way, how many meetings did we have with them? In my memory,
oh my God, we had
like
a million pre-production meetings with them, and they would have us meet at crazy times. I was up at like 4 a.m. with them. We did multiple rounds of filming. What we discovered was the director who originally was on the project clearly hated Taylor Swift, and it also seems hated us. And so we had took a real issue with that. And then the director was taken off the project. It's actually not that interesting. Basically, we thought that it was going to be our big break, and it ended up being nothing. And in the meantime, we were so excited about it, and we were so convinced that it was going to be our starring role, we couldn't keep our mouths shut.
Everything.
So we started covertly referring to it as the Men in Music Business Conference to like tease and Easter egg our audience and be like, you guys aren't ready for the Men in Music Business Conference. And then it came out.
And we were in it,
we're
for,
in it
30
for like
seconds.
2 seconds. It's and the amount of time they took from us. Well, you know what? At least it wasn't Dazed. Let's call that out. Dazed took a day of our time to film stuff.
Half a day on a
and
show.
And it never
on
went
a,
anywhere.
On an Eras Tour day in London. We were going to the Eras Tour and we gave them our getting ready for the Eras Tour time. That's
which is
sacred.
Oh, it's sacred.
Time. And they stole it. Give me back my Eras Tour morning. It was mine first. And they won't give it back. We're not even allowed to
see
the footage.
They won't give it back. They won't even give us the footage. So,
no,
Dazed,
and
you're over.
I remember I got roasted by one of the camera ladies. Do you remember this?
Oh, they got Madeline to cry on camera.
The emotional manipulations were occurring. And then that was when you were lost in the sauce and we were like talking about my Taylor tattoos and you were like, that one's a Taylor tattoo too, isn't it? And I was like, no, it has nothing to do with her. Can't you just say that it is? I was like, what? Did you just say, why
no, I was
would
acting.
I do that?
I was acting.
So
I was,
we were
I was,
doing
I was,
all
I was on
this
Madeline.
For the Dazed video that would never come to pass. We had to humiliatingly film at Wembley.
No, outside Wembley.
And we had to ask people for friendship bracelets who didn't want to give us them.
Thankfully, we had a snake come up to us and trade bracelets with us, thank God, because other than that, it was like getting pies in the face.
And for what?
But that's what the Men in Music Business Conference is. That's what that is. Up next, the Bone Collector. Madeline is the Bone Collector.
Oh, wow. So this is a Housewives reference, which it's so, I don't even remember.
Sheree.
It was Sheree. It was Real Housewives of Atlanta. It was Sheree. But what specifically she was talking about, I don't remember. She just
it's
referred
actually about
to herself.
Candy's a lesbian. It was about the Candy's a lesbian stuff. Who
and
said
that? Really?
Sheree.
That really
You're going to be hearing a lot of housewife stuff today. I'm sorry, because that's where a lot of our lingo comes from.
I can't even get into how crazy it is that that's what it's from, because that is delusion 101. But there is something to that. So that's literally what the bone collector refers to. It was I used it during one video.
Ashley episode.
Yeah. And that's from a very long time ago.
But every so often, Madeline will do a Coke rant, and that's bone collecting. Like when you did your Ellen, when you did the Ellen episode, yeah, that was bone collecting. It's basically when she goes through the archives and brings back the prudent material. That's what bone collecting is.
Yeah, it's very simple. It's fossils.
I do it too, but Madeline's better at it.
It's fossils. And I love collecting my fossils.
Big Booty Judy. This is a story that we've told Patreon behind the paywall, but I guess we should tell it again here, because you know what? The people deserve to hear it. This was in our Snara's tour intro. That's how iconic it was. So basically, Madeline, why? Let's start with who is Big Booty Judy to you?
I just thought it was funny. Like, it was just one of those alliterative things that I thought was really funny. I had been doing that, like, for years. Like, if I was on, you know, you would finish a game and you'd make it in the high score, and I'd be like, give us your name. I'd put Big Booty Judy because I thought it was funny. Gets a laugh. You know, people are like, haha, that's funny. I don't want to put my real name in Big Booty Judy. And so then I put it as my Zoom name because we used to make the podcast on Zoom. If you remember this, like way back in the beginning. So as a joke, I would log into Zoom to record the podcast with Zach as Big Booty Judy. Ha ha, hee hee, hoo hoo hoo. So funny.
Flash forward to when
it's not a joke anymore and we have to kind of be seen as serious people to some extent. We don't normally do Zoom calls. Like, to this day, Zoom is just not something that's used anymore. It was really big, I think, during, like, COVID, during quarantine. We do Teams, and also Google Meets. Like, Zoom is not in anymore. So there was randomly somebody who wanted to meet on Zoom, which is an app that I have not opened pretty much since the days when I was making the podcast on it. And it was a lawyer. It was because we were trying to get an LLC started.
We were incorporating our business. This was serious. We needed to be, and this was a free consultation as well. It was not like someone we were paying yet. It was someone we were meeting for the first time and explaining our business to. And there were two people on the call other than me and Madeline, a lawyer and his assistant. And so we're waiting. It's me and the lawyer and the assistant. Madeline's having some technical difficulties. And I'm like, where's Madeline? Where is she? And the assistant goes, there's someone called Judy in the waiting room. And I was like, I immediately was like, oh no.
And I was like, not Big Booty Judy.
I said, let her in. So they let her in. And as she logs in, she's like flustered. She's like moving around, picking things up off her desk. Like something has happened. Madeline's askew. And the lawyer goes, welcome, Judy. And she goes,
and that's when I realized my
the
eyes.
The name is in all capitals. Big Booty Judy. All one word.
Welcome, Judy. And the fact that both of them had the aplomb and the presence of mind to not acknowledge the fact that it was Big Booty Judy. They said, okay, hi, Judy. Nice to meet you.
And then we tried to explain that it was a joke, and that really didn't go down well. They were kind of like,
they didn't think it was funny.
It's not funny, first of all. And you know what? It is funny.
It was funny.
I know that you're a lawyer, but you can giggle. It's okay. I'm not going to sue you for giggling. Like, you can laugh. And then we had to explain what our business was, which, okay, imagine you're getting trolled by two randomistas. One of them lives in Singapore. The other one is logging in, rooting around like a squirrel in her desk, calling herself Big Booty Judy, and then laughing in your face. Then these clowns try to explain to you that they have a Taylor Swift podcast that needs to become a business. Would you take them seriously? To be fair.
Somehow they did. I still, to this day, I don't know how and I don't know why. They said a check's a check, I guess. A check is a fucking check.
He was dubious, though. He was like, is this a real business? We were like, yes, mama.
The real problem with the call was the fact that I was near tears from holding in my laughter.
That's like, the problem, then. We had to do the call.
Wiping tears out of my eyes and trying not to laugh. It was crazy.
It was, honestly, it's one of the funniest things that's ever happened to me in my life. And
We had to just sit there and take it.
And then I think we just called afterwards and literally just pissed ourselves for like 20 minutes. We were like, this is the kind of thing that happens to us all the time, especially at the beginning when we were really raccoons in a trench coat. That's the other thing that people wanted to know about. What is raccoons in a trench coat? For a long time, the evolution of a snake, it wasn't a business, girls. It was literally Madeline and I as raccoons in a trench coat pretending to be a person.
And we did that for many years. I would still say most of it, sometimes it still goes to that place.
On tour, it can go to raccoon real fast.
And it feels good. When I just,
sometimes it's
I
fun.
Don't care. I let it go. Yeah. And I'm on stage and I'm saying, hey girls, is anybody here a Swiftie? And everybody goes, yes! What else do you want?
And it doesn't matter that you're a raccoon. You're a popular raccoon. And that's what matters.
People, I'm the raccoon that people want to talk to. What else is there? Thank you.
Next, Idgeball. Okay, a lot of people are confused about that. And that, you know what? If you don't know what that is, you're blessed. You're not online enough. That is literally what it means. Idgeball is IJBOL, and it stands for I just burst out laughing. So if you hear us saying Idgeball, it's us trying, it's like saying lol, like that.
Right. You know, the funny thing about Idgeball is that it really took legs for you in Chicago. And I remember it had Idgeball, like IJBOL had just become like a thing that people were saying online. And when we went to Chicago for Eras, that's when you logged into the Idgeball of it all. And you started saying it out loud, Idgeball. You were just like, we'd be in the Uber, Idgeball, 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 Idgeball. And I was
I have no memory of doing that.
You
ADHD?
Are really the Idgebowler. I actually don't say Idgeball. I prefer to say I just burst out laughing. I think it's funnier to say the full thing.
You make it a moment.
I just burst out laughing. Idgeball is more, it's different. Like when you say Idgeball, there's a different connotation to it.
But you're right. I can see why I would be drawn to using it in times where it makes no sense whatsoever. Like our favorite thing to do with all of these sayings is say them in no context whatsoever. Like literally zero.
The less context, the better.
The less context, the better. The next one is you're an adult. You should know that. Madeline, take it away. This is one of your favorites.
Anybody who doesn't know this, you need to watch this right now. It's a Britney Spears interview from when she's doing Crossroads. First of all, she's in full Y2K Britney gear. She's got the hat on. She's got the perfect Britney's Gorgina. She's, you know, somebody asked her a question about like, what does your boyfriend think or when he sees you kissing other men on screen for the movie? And she goes, it's just a movie. You're an adult. You should know that. It's one of my all-time favorite. She is like the funniest person who's ever lived. Like once
the way
you
she
actually
whispers
like
it too, you should know that.
It's just a movie. You're an adult. You should know that.
It's a little too delicious. It's a little bit too delicious. No, that's something that we love to say.
Britney has so many hot mic moments. Do you remember that moment from when she was, this is like memory hold, but when she was a celebrity judge on The X Factor with Demi Lovato and that creepy guy came up who said, all you guys use auto-tune, and Britney like unleashed upon him and like gagged him so bad he just had to go silent. Do you remember this?
Yeah.
And she does it so nonchalant. She never yells. She never raises her voice. I want to know who let you on stage. I'm uncomfortable with
question.
You even looking at me. No, she
it's
literally... She is the mother I never had. She's literally one of the funniest people alive. And people don't know this. Men
don't
know this
know
because,
that.
And you know why men don't know it, but she's literally
You're
hilarious.
An adult, you should know that gets applied when someone's an adult and they should know better.
You're an adult, you should know that. You're an
like
adult,
when,
you should know that.
When the cat's eye stands get mad at me from a non-leaving and they make stuff up that I never said, you're an adult. You should know that.
You should know that. Period. It's one of those things that's universally applicable.
It is. Anyone can be an adult and anybody should know that. You can be a child and still you're an adult. You should know that.
Period.
I'll tell you that for free. Now, this is a me-ism that Madeline, as soon as I said it, she was like, I have never heard anything as amazing as this. What does it mean? And then I'd say it's yours now. You've taken it over.
I've taken it away. I do tend to really love like... isms, if you will, and like little sayings from
little idioms,
Ireland, from like the UK, from Europe.
This is very
I think
Irish. I got it from my parents.
They're so like, I just love shit like that. Just like little phrases that you can just say. Obviously, I do because this is what the whole episode is about. Just like little things that you can just say. I love shit like that. Something I've never heard of. And when he said it to me the first time, I remember being like, because you said it multiple times in a story that you were telling me.
I was on a rant, clearly. It must have been an impassioned rant.
And I was like, what is this thing that you keep saying? And you explained it to me. And I was like, I'll never forget it. And I didn't.
It's beautiful.
It's beautiful. No, it is. I love shit like that. I'll tell you that for free. Essentially means...
It's like an exclamation point.
It's like an exclamation... It's like, period. I'll tell you that for free. Like, I'm not getting on the roller coaster because the safety regulations aren't right. I'll tell you that for free. You know, that's just an example. I'll tell you that for free. I usually use it like... When I'm getting
I will not
something.
Go to the Madison Beer concert because no one will be there. I'll tell you that for free.
I'll tell you that for free. Period.
It's amazing.
It's
beautiful.
It's a period. It's a period. It ends a sentence. It's a period without being a period. Does that make sense?
And it adds something beautiful. Up next, pretty girl, let's hate on her. This one's pretty self-explanatory, I feel.
I do too. Is
when
it from Bad Girls Club?
I can't remember what I actually, this one I don't know where it's from. It could be from Bad Girls Club, but this is when. I remember, for some reason, this is really linked to Selena Gomez for me. And
oh, because
Pretty Girl, Let's Hate on Her. It was
Pretty Girl, Let's Hate on
a
Her.
A lot of the times, you're a pretty girl and people are hating on you just because you're a pretty girl. Pretty Girl, Let's
it's
Hate on
despicable.
Her.
It's despicable. And it happens time and time again. This is actually something that I think if you're a woman in the world, there's lots of women who would never admit to this. I have no issue saying there have been times in my life, specifically in my teenagehood, when I was fighting in the trenches to get the demon of internalized misogyny off my back, where sometimes it's just like, I hate her because she's pretty. It happens. Like, it
she's
honestly
not a
doesn't
saint.
Make you
she's
the devil.
She's not what you think. She's an actress. Taylor Swift has fallen victim
exactly.
to Pretty Girl. Let's Hate on Her.
It happens, babes. Like, it happens sometimes. Even in my adult life, I get Pretty Girl, Let's Hate on Her. But I can recognize that it's happening. And what I do when I feel myself doing, I hate her because she's really thin and gorgeous, I just look away until I've, like, dealt with my own demons. And then I say, okay, now I'm ready to receive you, who you are as a person, and not just see you as a pretty girl that I am in competition with in some way, shape, or form. It's in there deep. Like, it's okay to admit that it happens sometimes, but it's really important to call it out when you see somebody doing Pretty Girl, Let's Hate on Her behaviors. Like, now, hold on. You just hate her because she's beautiful.
And it's Pretty Girl, Let's Hate on Her does not mean you're hating on someone and they're pretty. You can hate on someone who's pretty and it's not Pretty Girl, Let's Hate on Her. It's like, let's get that straight. It's when you're hating on someone just because they are pretty. Like, there's no good reason to be up their ass other than they're gorgeous and you're mad about it. It's specific. Yeah. Pretty Girl, Let's Hate on Her is very specific. Oh my God, that was all you wanted.
This is my favorite. I think this is one of my favorites, at least top three, because when it happens, when it's right in the moment, I don't think this is really one that we use randomly. Every time that I think we've used it, it's been like gorgeous.
Perfect.
Of course, this is a reference to the Miss Americana documentary when Taylor wins the Grammy for Album of the Year and she does a voiceover where she says, oh my God, that was all you wanted. That was all you cared about. That was all you thought about. Aren't I supposed to be calling someone right now? It means
this started on tour.
So much.
This
oh my God,
on
that was
American
all you wanted.
Tour.
That was all
that
you
was
wanted.
Us all the time. Actually, after Seattle, our last show, when we had been together in a state of psychosis for like 2 weeks at that point, and I would say that's the closest we've ever been. I was Madeline was me, and all of a sudden it was over, and we were going to be departing and seeing each other who knew when next, because we live so far away. Right. And we were literally standing outside my hotel room at like 2 a.m. after the bar with Diva Kel. And we were looking at each other going, oh my God, that was all you wanted. That is the perfect time to use it.
Because it's over. It's about when something's over and you have to like look around and be like, this is all that I really kind of thought about for at least a little while. What am I supposed to do now? That's kind of like feeling. It's not always negative.
No, after we met Chats and Reacts,
oh my God, that was
oh my God,
all
that was all you wanted.
That was all you
it
thought
was
about.
Beautiful it, night of our lives, and it's gone.
It really was, and it was really
it went too fast.
Really, it was so sad to have to say goodbye. It was. I was like, I'm in tears.
Go to patreon.com/shiftologist to figure out why. The evidence is there.
The evidence is there.
Next up, she's a mammoth. This is one of my personal favorite ones. And this is a clip of a Nicki Minaj video promoting her role in Ice Age where she played a mammoth. I can't remember what she said before. What does she say before she's a mammoth?
I don't remember. This is a you-ism.
It's something like she's gorgeous and beautiful and slim, of course. She's a mammoth. It's the way that she says it is so funny. And now whenever I encounter something that's big, I guess, I don't even know what context I use it in,
no,
but I say it all the time.
You used it, because remember Wally? You used it for Wally, which is like ironic. You'll use it ironically too, like she's a mammoth and it's like the smallest thing you've ever seen.
Yeah.
That's what it's the best, in my opinion.
No, it's so,
or also
so
something
funny.
That's just like amazing, like the Aristotle, she's a mammoth. You know, it's like, it's kind of like,
anything can,
you know,
be a
chats and reacts. This is prohibited. This is, she's a mammoth.
Yeah, she's a mammoth. It's beautiful. What else can we say about it? Bellissimo. This came from...
love.
This is one of my favorites. It's also, it's bellissimo or bellissima. Either.
Depending.
And brava also.
Yes.
It's also brava. This is something that Madeline and I started doing at the Eras tour the first night when we were so overcome with, I think I started it, so overcome with joy
and
glee.
It gagged me.
It might have been after Cruel Summer. I clapped. I wasn't screaming. I was clapping and I was yelling, bellissima!
Bellissima, brava, pretty lady, gorgeous!
And every time you do it anywhere, people are like, what the fuck?
And that's why I love doing it. Bellissimo. Bellissima. Brava.
We were doing it at Halsey. We were doing it at Halsey. After Halsey did a really insane run of songs.
I've done it at Sunday 1994. I've done it multiple times at Sunday 1994, and I love doing it.
Bellissima! You can't do it after the end of any song. It's like when it's yeah. really, really delicious. Like, I think it was Nightmare and Hold Me Down back to back.
No.
And
it was so good.
It was like, oh my God. Like, we literally were gagging. And that is a bellissima moment. Inshallah, it means God willing, and we just say it.
Inshallah, they find her. The Funny Nemo. Have you ever seen that? That's one of my favorites. I love it. No, literally. It packs a punch. It packs
I also
a punch.
Grew up with that kind of in my lexicon because I live in Singapore and we have like a pretty large like Malay Muslim community here. A lot of my friends would be like of that community. And so sometimes I would hear them use it ironically and I thought it was really funny. But I'm not usually being ironic. I'm usually literally being like, God willing, please God, please God.
Yeah. Often.
Respectful. Respectfully only.
Respectfully.
House Down Boots. I think this comes from a doctor. What was her name? Dr. Regina Bobby?
Dr. Roberta Bobby, I thought.
Dr. Roberta Bobby, which was one of the greatest Twitter accounts that ever existed back in the day.
May I call you Diva?
Yeah, that's where it comes from. Diva. May I call you Diva? She also, I think she made an insane tweet that ended with the House Down Boots. And
yeah, it was something like, you're not in trouble, Boots. We're just trying to assess the situation. It's like something insane.
It's like 911 operator. You're not in trouble,
yeah.
Boots.
Like some Coke rant operation. That's something I really miss about Twitter is those kinds of accounts, because Twitter was like made for that kind of psychosis, for Dr. Roberta Bobby, for Wint, for like all of those weird accounts that would just say weird shit. And it would be so funny for no reason other than it's fucking stupid. I miss shit like that. I really do. Now everything sucks.
I love Dr. Roberta Bobby. I loved her. I missed her so much. It's really hard to explain who she is and probably not that interesting. But another thing that we got from her is Diva Down. I'm pretty sure that came from her.
Yes. Diva Down, and it means everything, and everybody gets it.
We've been Diva Down so many times. I think with the most Diva Down, or the most times we ever expressed ourselves as being Diva Down, was Chicago Night One. That's just kind of the Diva Down epicenter. After the show was over, and we had to walk a million miles home in our boots, and our feet were bleeding.
We were not happy campers, and that was also we were fighting to get home to a dorm room, mind you, to the shittiest fucking room you've ever seen in your life in Chicago, and then getting up and doing it all over again.
And yet, we were the luckiest girls in the world. And you know what we realized at the time? Like, it was bad for that night. And then the next day, we said, we're going to have the night of our lives. And we did, in fact, that was one of the best Eras experiences. We don't talk about that enough, but Chicago Night 2, when we were just rocking and actually seeing the show from afar, it was bellissima. You see how that works?
Bellissima. It was really nice, especially after night one. That's what I remember.
Especially
night one was
night one.
Really like diva down, diva up, we're so back, it's so over. And night two was just like, we're up the entire time. It was,
if we didn't have night two, it would have been a problem.
Yeah. It would have been like, maybe the air store, maybe I'm not strong enough for the air store. Maybe I'm not strong enough, but I am strong enough. We just have to, you know what
we
I'm saying?
We just have to do it.
Yeah.
Up next, take it to Capitol Hill. So this,
oh God,
another one of my favorite moments. This was when Demi Lovato went on her Coke rant on Twitter about Taylor Swift. And she was saying that her feminism was fake and that she'll believe it when she takes it to Capitol Hill. And so now when we think someone's doing fakeness, we think someone is pretending to care about an issue they don't care about, we'll say, okay, take it to Capitol Hill.
Yeah, take it to Capitol Hill. It's simple as that. Demi Lovato, her one-sided beef with Taylor, may it rest in peace, by the way. She squashed the beef. She squashed the beef. But there was a time where it was Demi Lovato, old man yells at cloud. Like, it really
Ask
was.
Taylor.
Like, Taylor was not engaging in any way, shape, or form with this imaginary beef. Taylor is really good at squashing imaginary beefs. All she
That's
did
how it could have been with Charlie.
Cool for the
That's how it could have been with Charlie. And yet, Charlie had to go and make the moment.
Charlie made the moment. To be fair, I mean, what came out before the moment?
Well,
there's something to that, but
there's something to it.
You know, I clap and I cheer because I'm entertained. Are you not entertained? I am.
Are you not entertained? Up next is something that I think is one of the things that we say most. You see how that works? Where does that come from?
I think, honestly, I'm being totally honest. I think I just started saying it. I don't know that it comes from
anything.
Yeah,
I think it's a you. This is a Madeline original,
TM. I think I just
TM.
Started saying, you see how that works? Like, do you see how that fucking works?
One of my favorite pieces of our merch is the design that has you see how that works with the snake on it. That, I'm like, if I had to give you an image of what Evolution of a Snake is, that's it.
That's it. Do you see how that works? It's so powerful of a phrase. Everybody understands it as soon as they hear it. You know what I mean? It's another one of those things that's period. It's never at the beginning of a sentence. It's always at the end, you know?
But also, you can do the inverse. You see how that doesn't work?
You see how that doesn't work?
I like to do that one.
It works on so many levels.
You see how that doesn't work?
It works on so many fucking levels.
I think it's actually really funny to do that. You see how that doesn't work? So that would be like... You're commenting on Nicki Minaj's getting a signed Bible from Donald Trump. You see how that doesn't work?
You see how you can't be doing that? You see how you can't be doing that? Recently, I was like, oh my God, is she like not doing the behaviors anymore because of everything that's going on? No, she's still doing the behaviors. I just don't know about it because there's more important things to talk about, A. And B, I unfollowed her on everything. She's still doing the behaviors on her Twitter and Instagram. Or not Instagram, but on Twitter.
You see how that doesn't work? It doesn't. It literally doesn't work.
It doesn't.
Another one. Bus. Club. Another club. Now, this one is a very common meme. I wouldn't claim ownership of this. This is Lady Gaga talking about her hectic tour schedule, which was us.
Yep. Bus club. Another club. That's all there is to it.
We've abbreviated it to bus club, actually.
Bus club. And we know what we mean.
James, what was that? Now, this is an early one. I feel like we've brought this one back around lately, but we rarely do the James part. We just do, what was that? It's Wendy Williams. She's on her show. It's Halloween. She's looking around. There's an audience cam, right? They're zooming in on people in the crowd. And there's this woman wearing, to be fair, the scariest face mask I've ever seen. And Wendy Williams talks to her producer. She goes, James, what was that? And then it flashes back to the hideous face. And that's
okay.
It.
James.
What was that? And we say this when we're really freaked out. We go, what was that?
What was that?
When the producers at the show are going to lose their job because they're not doing their job right at the Sinéra's tour. What was that?
What was that?
It can be aggressive too. It can be a question or it can be an accusation.
What was that?
Literally. You see, it can literally be anything. Mouth kissy. I think that might be a you.
It is. It's from my Tortured Poets reaction when I was listening to the album and I was getting really into, you know, the songs and the production, and I would just go, Jack Antonoff, I will kiss you on the mouth with tongue. That was his first iteration was I will kiss
then
you on the mouth.
Then it became mouth kissy.
Yeah. Aaron Dessner, I'll kiss you on the mouth with tongue. There's many instances on Tortured Poets where a French kiss has been earned.
And it doesn't mean I want to assault you. It means you're the most wonderful person who deserves everything good in life. Mouth kissy.
Thank you so much.
Mouth kissy is just like our stupid way to say it. It reminds me of another one that we need to explain, which is money, please. That is from Parks and Rec. It's where the are they called the Saperstein's? Is that their name?
Yeah, Mona Lisa Saperstein.
Mona Lisa Saperstein is begging for money from her father. She's a spoiled child. She's smashing things in the office. She goes, money, please. And we were like, that when Taylor's Eras Tour behavior was really at its peak of like variant, merch, environmental disaster, jet tracking, we said, you are money, please.
Yeah. And sometimes she still is. And I think we can all
What do you mean sometimes? She still is. She is money, please.
No, like it really, the case, the showgirl money, please is actually some of her worst money, please in a very long time. It really is.
It's a lot of money, please. It's a lot of issues going
on. It's
a
lot of money, please going on. Period.
Some of these are just Ote Voodoo. Did we come up with that?
I feel like that's from Tumblr.
Yeah, from years
ago. That's my honest
ago.
Truth. Like, I feel like it's from Tumblr. People have been saying it since, like, at least, like, Speak Now era. Because she did Te Voodoo Camila.
So Te Voodoo is the cosmic force that Taylor unleashes on a person when she doesn't like them. Not every person that she gets into a beef with is a victim of Te Voodoo, but most of them are. And it's a curse that will follow you around for the rest of your life. Demi Lovato, she doesn't know it, but she is a recipient of Te Voodoo. Katy Perry is a recipient of Te Voodoo. Damon Albarn, Te Voodoo.
Many such cases.
Kanye West?
Te Voodoo.
Te Voodoo.
And, you know, the thing about Kanye West and the Te Voodoo of it all is there does have to be a line sometimes. When people are like, he's a Nazi because of Te Voodoo.
No. In general, no. He's flopping because of Te Voodoo, yeah. But we're not doing that. We're not putting that on Taylor. Basically, every tongue that rises against me shall fall.
Every tongue that rises. Another good one is when Trump tweeted, I hate Taylor Swift. A week later.
You see how that works? Te Voodoo. Te Voodoo. I'm scrolling through because some of them are like easy to explain. Oh, this is one of my favorites that I feel like we've never explained. Nothing Knower. So when we accuse someone of being a nothing knower, that's actually a deep reference to a really annoying Twitter account. I don't know if it still exists, but they called themselves the all knower. And they would post these vague things about Taylor. And I'm pretty sure they never got a single thing right. Like it was always, if they got anything right, it was like, I predict that a cardigan will be released. Like it was not insider tea. This was not scoop. And yet, everybody fell for it and they were like clamoring. They launched a subscription service where you could pay to hear from the all-knower. And I lost it one day and I said, you're the nothing knower. You don't know anything. And that has extended beyond just this instance. Anyone can be a nothing knower.
There's a lot of nothing knowers out there. And the worst part, a nothing knower isn't just somebody who doesn't know anything. This is really important to make this distinction. It's somebody who doesn't know anything but acts like they do. That's
strong
what
opinions.
Really makes the nothing knower.
Strong opinions, no scruples. You're a nothing knower.
And it's
who
many
is a nothing knower? Candace Owens is a great nothing knower. She is a fucking nothing knower.
Yeah, there's nothing going on in there. There's nothing
going
on
up there. To me, Alex Cooper is also a nothing knower. I'm sorry.
Yeah, Alex, there's a lot of people, but I won't name names.
It's not endearing.
I won't name names.
It's not endearing to be a nothing knower.
No. I'm sure somebody thinks that. You know, we're the nothing knowers, but the joke's on them. The joke's not really on them. We're the everything
knowers. Someone said,
knowers.
Using your hands to deliver the news. So I assume they refer to us going
oh,
like this.
Oh, yeah, that's another tour stim.
Mostly comes out when we're on stage.
And it works every time. It gets people's attention.
It's
it
a Michael Scott
time.
The Office reference.
Which
he's
I love.
Dictating what he believes should be the title of a story. And it's like, Dunder Mifflin Paper Company makes right with customers, still knows how to do good business. Like a headline that would take up the entire page of the paper.
So we say it. We were doing it as headlines at first, and then it just became so satisfying to do it just to emphasize a point. And so we would just like keep doing it. I love doing it. It's like one of my favorite things to do.
I love doing it for a really long time, like deliberately saying something really stupid, like a run-on sentence, and just doop, 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 like just bashing it over people's
heads. Do you remember
heads.
when we were in the elevator in Chicago and there was that couple and they had like their McDonald's and I was talking about how I needed Cheesecake Factory and we were doing this like to each other in the elevator. I need to get Cheesecake Factory. We're running out of time. I need to DoorDash my Cheesecake Factory. And like the man of the couple commented and was like, you need Cheesecake Factory right now? And I was like, yeah.
And you know what? He was key. Like he was being a diva in that moment.
He was
like
he
wasn't making fun of us. He was tickled by it. He thought it was funny. And people really loved it.
Yeah, he had his McDonald's and it was time to go upstairs and put the game on and eat his McDonald's. He had no cares in the world at that moment. Period.
And you know who else loves that bit? My father. He thinks it's the funniest thing in the world. Like when we came off stage, he was like, "Why did you keep doing this?" Like with the most fascination in his mind. And we were like, "Because it's hilarious and everybody loves it."
Everybody, when they see it happen, they're like, I totally understand.
It makes sense in context. It really does.
It really does.
Here's another one. This is fairly new, but it's one of my favorite things. X person is for sale. This is a Zachism.
Oh, that's such a good one. I love that one. The first person you said that to me about was Meryl Streep. And I was like, you know, there does have to be a modicum.
But I'm not wrong. I'm not wrong. Meryl Streep is for sale. For sale means that you would show up at the opening of an envelope. You know, it's someone who will go anywhere and do anything and say anything, really, for a check. You're for sale.
Meryl,
who's for sale right
in...
now? Who is really other than that?
Who's for sale right now? In my opinion, Jacob Elordi is for sale. His ass is on the market. I honestly think
not desperate enough, not hungry enough. It's like Martin Short. He's for sale.
Okay, you're just naming old people. You're just naming. There has to be
somebody
young.
No people that will
young.
Be in anything.
I don't know. Margot Robbie's kind of giving for sale.
Margot Robbie?
Okay.
I think she's for sale.
If Margot Robbie is for sale, then Jacob Elordi is on the discount rack. Nice try. I'm not doing that.
I'll take it.
Margot Robbie is not for sale. You're wrong. One of the biggest divas that's ever divaed in the history of divadom. Nice try.
Well, that's what it is. For sale means someone that will basically just appear in anything. Meryl Streep is for sale, and I will stand by that. She's amazing, but she's for sale. And she's earned it. Like, Martin Short, Meryl Streep, they can be for sale. They've already, like, cemented themselves as legends. Why should we stop them from getting their checks in their 60s? Why not? Why shouldn't Meryl Streep star in the stupid movie about being an author on a cruise? Why not?
Now, that was a good movie to watch on the plane. I would defend that movie.
It's not a good movie. That is the definition of someone being for sale.
No, I love it. No, plane movies, like, whenever on the category, and obviously I was just on planes for multiple hours, so I was in this realm. On the plane, it says perfect plane movies.
Oh,
and I was like,
that is all of those people are for sale. If you're in a plane movie, you're for sale.
Period. Although there are some plane movies that are plane movies because it's like Moana, because maybe you're going to Hawaii or like fucking Roman Holiday or something like that. But it's like if it's I'm Meryl Streep and I'm on a cruise and I'm an author.
I'm writing a book.
It's for sale.
I'm sorry. That movie is
about
ridiculous.
My like issues with my friends from 20 years ago that's never been resolved. And I stole my book. The subject of my book, this is a good, no, this is juicy. I'm defending it again. The subject of her book.
We don't need to get into it. We don't have time to get into Meryl Streep being for sale.
And people are like, what movie is it?
Yeah, they're like,
I don't know what it's called.
We don't know what it's called. Because it's for sale.
It's
called
like On Board or something like that.
You can buy this. And as a final closing thought on for sale, J-Lo is for sale.
Oh, for sure. And she needs to be. And she needs to be.
She's the definition of for sale.
She is the definition of for sale.
Great gowns, beautiful gowns. Aretha Franklin unfortunately commenting about Taylor Swift when asked what she thought about her singing ability.
And you know what? You know what? I think Taylor knows about great gowns, beautiful gowns. Not from us. I'm not claiming that at all. I'm think it's in the lexicon. People are aware of Aretha Franklin.
People say this all the time for other people.
It was in
not
the context
Taylor.
Of Aretha's kind of being speed read names of other famous female pop stars and celebrities or artists specifically. And it's like Adele with this great voice, one of the greatest voices of her generation. You know, Ariana Grande. Oh, amazing lyricist. Great, great voice, great voice. And then Taylor Swift. Okay. Wow. Great gowns, beautiful gowns. And you know
and
what?
And she's really not trying to be shady. When I watch it more, I'm like, she's actually not trying to be mean. She just genuinely. And if you really think about it, what would Aretha Franklin have to say about Taylor Swift as a musician? Like, it's just not for her.
Nothing. But you know what I, when I think about that line in Honey where she says, when anyone called me lovely, they were finding ways not to praise me. I was like, I feel like that's about great gowns, beautiful gowns. Because
that
is like, she's a beautiful, it's like saying she's a beautiful girl. And that's all you say. You looked beautiful, but nothing about what you actually did, how you sang, how the song went. Just, you were gorgeous. You were absolutely gorgeous. You were gorgeous.
Blue in my hair for the Teen Vogue party. Now, this is a meme of Selena Gomez being interviewed on the red carpet at the Teen Vogue party because she's got, and it's literally exactly what it says. She says, I've got a little blue in my hair for the Teen Vogue party, as if it's like the craziest thing you could ever do. And so when someone does something slightly weird or does something a little bit different, it's, I'd say it's usually neutral. It's neither good nor bad. We'll say, or we even, like if we're doing something different, if I'm wearing rhinestone jeans for the first time, I might say to Madeline, I've got a little blue in my hair for the Teen Vogue party.
It's one of the most amazing things of all time because it means so much. It means I'm putting myself out there creatively.
But that's one of the that's one of the hardest things to, I think, receive out of context. Because if you don't know what we mean when we say it,
no
it must
sense.
Literally sound like gibberish.
It makes no sense. But that's why, you know, if I said it to my brother, I'd have to explain it. And then it's not funny. It's really only funny if you've seen the video on the Teen Vogue party, like with the eyes going.
And even if you show it, the video to them, like you just don't get it. This is one of the best things about Madeline's and I friendship is that we literally have our own language. And someone asked us actually at Phonasnake, they were like, does one of you ever say something that the other person doesn't know? Like a lingo, a catchphrase? And we were like, no.
All of our stuff comes from things that we show each other that we think are funny. Like when it's a lot of issues going on became part of the lexicon, it's because I sent Zach the video and we talked about the video and thought it was funny. And then it just like became part of what we were saying. Like it's a lot of issues going on.
Or they evolve over time. Like something, right. It'll start as one thing and it'll become another. I like the beat. This is a good one because we say it a lot. I like the beat is a way to say, I don't really like it that much, but I'm going to let you rock. And it is another charade. It's another charade
moment. It's another charade. She really is like one of the funniest people on Housewives. But sometimes the nonsense gets her. She's one of those housewives where it's like she loses the plot sometimes. But when she's on, she's one of the funniest people alive.
When she's listening to Kim Zolciak's song, Don't Be Tardy for the Party. I'm pretty sure Kim Zolciak, who is a real housewife that I can't stress to you, can't sing and does a music career. She performs it and Andy immediately turns to Sheree and goes, what did you think? And she's standing there in her leather catsuit with her microphone, waiting for Sheree to respond. And Sheree goes, I thought it was fun. I like the beat. And that's where it comes from.
And like everybody in the room can tell that she's me. It's like great gowns, beautiful gowns.
Yeah.
You're finding ways not to praise me. You're finding ways not to praise me.
You don't have anything nice to say, but you're being a classy girl.
Right.
Here's one that I think trips people up all the time. Memento. Madeline?
Oh, this one is really from the archive. So when we first started the Patreon, I used to make text posts on the app. I don't do that anymore. And this is why. So it was, you know, an afternoon in the spring. It was a beautiful day. And it was around the Midnights era, and I had a thought, and I used to, I should probably get back to doing this because it was really fun to do this. Like, I would have a thought, and I would just like pose it. Yes, the quips. This is a great thing for quips. I would pose it to the people of Patreon, and I'd be like, so what do you guys think about this random thought that I just had? And one of my random thoughts was that the 3 a.m. edition of Midnights was actually like some of the original stuff that was on the original version of Midnights, but all that stuff got pushed off so that she could have a pop moment. But the way that I wrote it was like on the phone, on my little phone, unbeknownst to me, the Patreon app is unforgiving about typos. So what I would do is I'm typing it. Oh, I made a typo, backspace, replace it. But for some reason, it remembered all of my typos
And there were a lot. And this was a serious post, by the way. It wasn't like a ha-ha funny post. It was like, Madeline was like, I'm posing a serious question.
Yes, an intellectual question about like the etymology of Midnights. What do you guys think? Do you think that Midnights was always going to be a return to pop? Or maybe this was actually going to be the Third Sister record with all of these Bigger Than the Whole Sky, would've, could've, should've style songs? And I was talking about, I phrased it like, oh, Taylor went to Jack at some point halfway through the Midnight's writing sessions and said, I need to do a pop moment. But I typoed it and it came out pop memento. Mind you, the entire thing is a typo. So
no,
like,
that,
if you read it,
I don't know why we even picked that one thing. I think maybe it got abbreviated into one word. It was pop memento. And we thought it was the funniest thing in the world.
And
so instead
speaks.
Of saying moment, but I do this all the time and I realize it's so stupid because, again, you need a lot of context to understand why I'm saying memento. So people are always like, are you trying to say memento? Like, what word is that? And I literally all the time will say, by myself, filming in my own videos without Madeline there, I'll be like, it was an incredible memento.
People need to know.
It's when it's
memento,
in my book.
A pop
when
memento.
It's in my
when
book.
It's in my book.
The book is called Pop Mementos.
And you know what? And that's when memento will really take center stage and will really take the world by storm. And that's when people will realize. But that's the etymology. It was a typo. Some of the greatest jokes of our times have come from the typo department. Thank you so much. It was a pop memento. Midnights was a great pop memento. It was.
Let's do Even He Was Weirded the Fuck Out. This one.
Oh my
this
God.
One, this one is to my chagrin, this one is really funny. So,
it is.
When I heard Seven during my folklore reaction, I, like many people in this world, and this was, I have to stress, pre-Gaylorism really becoming super virulent and like crazy, I was like, what is she saying here? And you could see me in the reaction video kind of puzzling through it and being like, huh, what does this mean? And so, when I started becoming really anti-Gaylor, the Gaylors made this gif of me in that moment, like being, and they put the text over it says, even he was weirded the fuck out. And I was.
That is really fucking funny. Even he was weirded the fuck out. No, he was. He was. No, the folklore reaction video is one for the ages. I love that video. It never gets old. No, there's
the
something about like, now everything, like, it's wonderful. Like, it's so professional and this, that, and the other thing. But there's really something about those old videos. It just brings a smile to my face.
It comes from a pure place of being weirded the fuck out. But we say this about many things. Even he was weirded the fuck out.
Did you get an even he was weirded the fuck out, like, meme or gif made of you from the showgirl reaction? I think you did. But I can't remember what
did.
It was.
They put the it was the headdress.
Oh, right. Even he was weirded the fuck out. Period.
And he was. He really
was
weird the
and
fuck
he,
out.
And he was.
I'm a barb.
So this comes from being afraid of barbs. I mean, that's no other way to put it. We were really afraid of barbs. I probably some of the, well,
it was
not,
you, I
still
think.
This
is a Madelineism.
Still to this day, Swifties have said on the internet, have said the nastiest, most foul stuff to me. It's still Swifties. They still take the cake. Barbs, I don't want to get involved. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't want to say anything bad. I'm not a part of this. I'll take the heat from the Swifties because at least I have a dog in the fight. I don't have a dog with the barbs. I really don't. So it was just like a way to deflect anytime I would even encroach saying a vaguely negative thing about Nikki, we would just go, but I'm a barb. I'm a barb. I'm a barb.
I'm
a barb.
I'm a barb. I'm a barb.
Just to be clear before anybody comes.
It was an
me.
Incantation.
Well,
of
we don't have to do that anymore.
No, now. That bit has become,
free.
I'm not a barb. I'm not a barb.
I'm free. I'm free. Thank you so much. I'm not a barb. And I'm so happy to report that. Thank you.
Up next is Well Yes. And this one is, I think everybody does Well Yes. But I think we do it a lot.
I love Well Yes. Is that Tokyo Tony too? I can't remember.
I think it might be. It might be Tokyo Tony.
Yes!
It's someone being interviewed on the red carpet. They ask her a question. She goes, Well
and
Yes.
And then she goes, Well, no. And then in the same interview, she goes, Well, maybe. It's so good. To all three variants in the same red carpet interview. Well, yes.
Yeah, and also we have our own, which is well, sorta, kinda.
Well, sorta, kinda. I love, actually, I did a ranking video. I can't remember if it was my songs or my album ranking for the Pop Girls, but there I have a well, sorta, kinda category.
Oh, I always use that. I always
well,
use sorta, that
kinda.
As a category. It says a lot.
Because it says a lot and it really gets the job done.
Well, sort of, kind of, is a cousin of I Like the Beat.
It is. And
this is crazy. This is literally crazy.
This is crazy.
Randomista. I'm addicted to this at the moment.
It's another one that just started saying it. It was randomista. It's not just random. It's randomista. What is the difference between something that's random and something that's randomista? You know it when you see it.
You know it when you see it.
You know it when you see it.
It can be a person. It can be a place. It can be an object. I think a lot of the times we would arrive, like when we would arrive, really when we arrived at somewhere like the Madison venue, it was randomista. It wasn't like
it was randomista.
Bad.
There was nothing bad
randomista
about it.
Randomista isn't bad.
No, when you're randomista, it can also mean something good. Like when you just happen upon, Mason and I had a really randomista last morning / afternoon in Sydney because we had no plans. We were just like, let's just walk around in this area where we saw lots of cute stuff. So we're just having a randomista day and walking into places and being like, this is great. Like, it doesn't always go that way when you wander. Like, you can wind up in the bad, like, this isn't going well. But we had a beautiful randomista. Random bars, random cafe, random dessert, random fried rice. It was amazing. Randomista.
No, randomista. So randomista, again, is neutral. You can use it in any kind of circumstance. But we will also add, I've started saying now, this is a new one, periodista.
Periodista.
You can put Easter onto anything, really.
You really can. Easter. Jesus Easter. Jesus Easter will be rising Easter at the
Jesus
end of
Easter.
The month-ita.
I'm his ex. I'm his ex.
That's
beautiful.
Katy Perry, I'm his, he's mine. Sort of a riff, if you will. We kind of riffed it.
Troll.
We would do it with anything. You know, we're going to get frozen yogurt. I'm his yogurt. I'm his
ice. I'm his spoon.
I'm his chocolate chip. I'm his gummy bear.
And this is not something that becomes a discussion. We just do it. I'd say it's not something we even really do on the podcast. It's something that we do in person.
No, it's secret. It's secret.
Yeah, yeah. And the other person always joins in.
Yeah. Because they start... I'm in it. I'm already involved.
You look around. I'm his chair. I'm his microphone.
One of the most
room.
Vivid memories I have of us doing that is actually in Atlanta when we rolled up to the Sonder and discovered that there's nobody there and we can't get in. And I'm on the... I'm his phone call. I'm his customer service representative. It was terrible.
You?
Was terrible.
I feel like I have such bad memory. You are bringing back things that I have completely forgotten. Chicago is great.
Yeah. Atlanta.
You should write these down.
Yeah. Well, Atlanta's
oh
one
my
of
God.
My like.
Did we ever tell
the
story in Atlanta
demons.
About how I thought Madeline killed herself?
Oh my God, this is so good. So at our mysterious Atlanta Sonder, we did eventually get in.
It was spooky.
It was like a back room.
Really
so
spooky.
When you go into the elevator for starters, like the it was glass and you could see out the back and it showed the courtyard of the middle of this kind of like hexagonal almost kind of building. And it was like weird playground equipment, but it was like an art installation and there was nobody around.
Not
just
a soul.
Silent.
And
I didn't like looking at it. And we had to ride pretty much up to the top, like 12th or 13th floor. And like, so we had to like ride it every day. I didn't like it. I was like, this is actually giving me, I'm not generally afraid of elevators, but I did not like that one. So that's strike one. Strike two isn't really a strike. It was actually a really big, kind of like really nice apartment, you know, two bathrooms, you know, and really big beds. The bed was actually really cozy.
Yeah.
But there was also... You couldn't really call it a balcony. It was so small, but it had like AstroTurf on it. And it was like this big sliding glass door. And after the show, we like came back. I didn't know there was a balcony.
Let's start there. I didn't know
didn't
there
know
was
that.
A balcony.
So he's not downstairs. He's upstairs, you know, doing his thing, maybe skincare or whatever. And I'm kind of like doing my own thing. I open the sliding door and I close it behind me and I'm sitting on the balcony and it's like overlooking a busy highway. And then also I can see like some of the skyscrapers of like the Atlanta skyline.
She has no light on, by the way. There's
yeah,
no light
I'm
on.
I'm out there. I'm not listening to music even. I'm just out there Mm-mm. sitting there and like, you know, looking at the moon and visualizing my success, as Travis Kelce would say. Like just kind of being in the moment. One of those moments where you're like, life is beautiful. That's what I was experiencing.
Taking it all in.
Yeah. So then I like, you know, turn around and I see that Zach is downstairs in the living area. So I approach the window The memory of it is cracking me up. And I noticed that you look freaked out because I left
I'm
it
like,
cracked
I'm
open.
I'm literally
you
like.
You realize I left it cracked open just enough that you knew that something was weird, even though nothing was. But like it unsettled you. And you were like, I saw you like looking around like, what the fuck is going on? And then you saw me in the window and I
Your
scared
visage.
You. You like jumped.
Yeah.
And I thought it was hilarious. And then I came in and I'm laughing my ass off and you were like, I thought you killed yourself. And I was like, what?
She had gone out because of the way, okay, the curtains were kind of billowing in the wind, the way that it had been left open. I was like, this bitch has said, I'm not doing four shows in 4 days. I'm throwing myself off the balcony. And I immediately in that moment was like, oh my God, what the hell are we going to do now?
And yet there I was alive. I was alive.
And she was alive. That reminds me two more. What the hell are we going to do now? Where did that come from?
It's from Miss Juicy, right?
Yes. Oh
right?
My God! After they have,
what
after they
the
get like into a
are
big
we
fight,
do now?
What are
and
we?
She's
and
like,
we say that all the time.
Yeah, because it needs to be asked. What are we going to do now?
When we meet someone evil, we go, "What the hell are we going to do now?" Something goes wrong.
What the hell are we going to do now? And most of the time, nothing. That's the thing. We just deal with it.
No, we say that, and then we
yeah.
we. Girl boss. Another one is, where the hell are we?
And that's a really deep niche one. That's one of my favorite ones because it is so lore heavy. Has anybody ever heard of The Simple Life with Paris Hilton and Nicole Richie?
One of the greatest shows ever made.
Underrated. I need to rewatch it. I need to find, I feel like it's on Paramount Plus maybe. I should stream it. I want to watch
so
it.
It's so funny. It's genuinely really, really funny.
So it's part of the introduction, like in the beginning credits. At the end, she goes, where the hell are we? I think it's Nicole Richie that does it.
And the premise is that they put them on a plane and they fly them. These two rich California heiresses, they take away all their money and their phones and they send them to, like, I don't know, Arkansas. And the private plane touches down in this janky airport with nothing around. They strut out at the top of the stairs of the private jet with their dogs and their bags and they go, where the hell are we? And that was us. I specifically remember this landing in Madison Airport, which is like, it's like a ski lodge. I don't know how to describe it. I've never seen an airport like that. And we walk out and there's a red pickup truck coming to get us as an Uber. And I go, where the hell are we?
Period. And that was also when there was the country music festival in town. Was in
Oh,
Madison.
Where the hell are we?
Yeah, with the girls with the girls with the boots and the bows. They were fine. But everybody else, get it together now.
No. When also, for example, a recent example, when we arrived at the Sydney venue and the security guard was extremely rude to me and nobody was telling us where to go and there was no one there to get us, despite us being the biggest show of the evening at that venue, I said, we're the talent, and pointed at the poster and he said, go to the bar. And I turned to Madeline and I said, where the hell are we?
It was a fair question because, like, that venue, so you walk in, there's a guy selling Jamaican beef patties. Mason discovered it was Jamaican beef patties.
That's
amazing.
What smelled good. It did smell good.
He was like, I'm going to get me, he never did, but he wanted Jamaican beef patties. So that's the first thing you see. You walk in, there's a security guy right there. He doesn't know anything about anything. He's there to bounce you, essentially. He doesn't know
and
what's
that
or what's
this. And he's not interested in helping. He does
and
not want to say
hi.
He
doesn't care. And then it's like this huge open outdoor bar space, a bar, more space over here, a venue over here that's outdoor, a huge set of stairs, and like two separate venues inside.
And a metal band actively screaming their heads off as
we walk
in.
And there's like a bunch of people who don't know anything about what we are there to do or anything about the specific venue. So it's just like, there's no signage. Nobody told us where to go. It was a little bit busted.
There's supposed to be someone that is at least aware that we're coming on the premises. Like, we couldn't find someone to talk to that even knew that we were supposed to be there. That was more the issue.
And it was crazy. But
where the hell are
we? Eventually. We figured it out eventually. And well, here we are today.
There's so much more that we can do, but I feel like we should just do one more. Should we do Plumber's Apprentice?
That's a classic. And that's another one that requires a lot of deep lore.
I'll give the abbreviated version. It's Jover, and something that the Jover people are saying, the Joe Widows are on Twitter saying, it's not real until Taylor Swift confirms it. I'm like, you're dumb, guys. It's confirmed. And then a bunch of these, I want to say children, are on a Twitter space telling me that I should get hit by a bus. So Something I used to do back in the day, which I would never do now, is I would get on Twitter Live and I would invite, actually, I would goad, I would bait people who hated me and were telling me to die. I would say, let's get on the mic and talk. Be brave. Say it with your voice. So I invite this girl who is saying the craziest shit about me, by the way. I invite her on and immediately it's King Kong versus Coughing Baby.
It was really crazy. And she had her like crazy friends. You remember the crazy friend who said, who tweeted, kill yourself. And then you screen capped it and like posted it around and they were going to get their account removed. So they're going, please, no, I didn't say that.
I didn't mean that? It. It's Photoshop. Yeah. Yeah. And then she was like, we were getting into a spar about it all. And it became clear that we were not on the same level. And she was telling me to get a job. And I said, this is my job. What's your job? She said, I'm a plumber's apprentice. And I was silent.
It's just like,
she silenced
me. It was
me.
One of those things that you never expect to hear coming out of like a 16-year-old girl's mouth. Because she was like a child. She was a 16-year-old
girl. Yeah,
she's
like spending her time on Twitter ranting and raving about how Joe and Taylor are still together and you're a plumber's apprentice.
There's nothing wrong with being a plumber's apprentice. It was just like
one
of
randomista.
Those phrases that you just like, it was randomista. And it just like, I remember you went quiet after. You were like, what am I supposed to say to that?
I had
it's
no.
It's like you weren't expecting it. You expected maybe,
no,
I don't know, I work at the movie theater after school.
I was expecting I don't have a job. That's what I was expecting. I'm jobless. Really, that's what I thought.
I'm a plumber's apprentice. I'm learning to be a plumber.
And after about 30 minutes of this, Madeline requests to join the live. And I go, yes, my girl, she's going to have my back. She's going to get in here and we're going to get them together.
No.
Madeline comes on and says, you're acting the fool to me.
The both of you. I said, this is really unproductive. That is the very first thing I said. It's like, this is so unproductive. Because it literally was becoming
so betrayed.
This.
You don't know how betrayed I felt. I
was
like, Madeline,
this. And it was live on Twitter.
I let
oh,
you
I'm
in
not
here.
Doing that. Oh, no. No.
No.
And you know that.
I actually didn't know that. I wouldn't have let you on if I knew you were going to do that. But she stopped me from completely bodying this child, which was a good idea. And if you want to listen to it, patreon.com/riftologist, it is recorded. That's her story.
And my part where I come in is recorded too. And it's really funny.
It's called Swiftologist versus Cupcake. So go look for it if you want to hear that. That's some deep lore. I think there's more things to go, but like we could do this forever. So I think we'll just cap it here. Let us know if there's any more terms that you want explained. Perhaps there can be a part two. Who knows? And also, guys, you need to keep an eye out for Tuesday next week. If you live in the United States or the North American area, and you like a podcast that has people to talk about Taylor Swift, and you like coming to live events, I think you should just keep your eyes peeled for Tuesday, March 17th.
Which, by the way, is St. Patrick's Day. It's the luck of the Irish. Let's just leave it
Some
at
Some people
that.
Are going to be really lucky that day.
Some people are going to be really lucky that day.
And with that, we bid you adieu.